Here's a question that occurred to me the other day. What energies do you require in order to achieve some goal that you have, some project that you have, some activity that you want to successfully complete? What energies do you require? There are two major forms of energy, male energy and female energy. They could be called electricity and magnetism. So let me broaden the topic about the energies that we require. Energy is required for movement, get point A to point B, growth, you know, that has been what was required to move you from a fertilized ovum up to the adult that you are today. Healing. If you want to heal, you need energy. You need energy for protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival. Even rhythm is a function of energy flow. I recently learned the difference between a motor and an engine. Never knew this before. The energy required by a motor is electricity. The energy required by an engine comes from the combustion of fuel. So one requires electricity, the other is due to internal combustion. I'm also aware of the power of inertia on people, even those of us who want to create and who want to express. Sometimes inertia is looked upon as gravity, which holds us in place. But when you really think of that, if you're going to do anything that you're currently not doing, you have to overcome inertia. When we identify a what, and last week I talked about a what, and I'll just say it's a, when we have a what, we require energy to bring that need or that desire into physical manifestation. And if you thought about it, you know, you're a young man or a young woman, and you say, I want to have a child. Guess what? That's going to require energy. It's going to require energy to participate in an act that is going to result in conception. And from that point on, it requires energy to add cells as the cells of that developing fetus are multiplied over and over and over again for about 39 weeks until the baby comes to full term and is physically manifested outside of the mother's body. Years ago, when I was in advertising sales, I noticed that oftentimes before any ads were placed, and I was dealing with two people who were starting a business. Later on, when I returned to consummate a sale or to make a recommendation as to the advertising program, there seemed to be only one person remaining active in the business. And initially, I thought that was interesting. It took two to get started, but then it, which is kind of like a baby, right? If you're going to conceive a baby, you're going to want to have two people participating in that. Even if it's in, you know, with new scientific technologies, you know, fertilization and so on, somebody has got to produce the seed, that's one, and somebody has got to produce the ovum, that's two. But after conception and after businesses were conceived and initiated, only the mother-to-be is essential to the development of the baby. And in business, I noticed the only one partner, perhaps the one who conceptualized the business in the first place, they stuck around in order to manifest that. So they became like the mother to that developing business. Just the other day, I interacted with a man who didn't have enough energy to install a ceiling fan. Now, he has a tendency, in my interactions with him, to talk about being tired, not having enough energy, not having enough time, not being able to deal with certain situations. So in this situation where we wanted a ceiling fan installed, when I offered to help, and a woman offered her help in going out and buying the fan, he immediately began working on the kitchen lighting fixture that would need to be replaced. That experience made me wonder about this topic of what energies we require in order to create and express. Now, my car, and I happen to be sitting in it in a remote place in Maryland as I'm doing this talk, my car requires electricity provided by the battery, and then using that electricity in the starter, it uses gasoline to combust in order to move the car forward. So my car is running, the air conditioning is running at the lowest level, so it's not audible during this recording. But you'd think, the energy that my car requires, we're pretty clear about that. We want to have water in a radiator, but there are certain things that we certainly do want. And from a human standpoint, right, I need food and water, electrolytes, I need rest, and some other things to move my body to my car in order for me to drive my car. In my body, the cells need electricity to produce new healthy cells. It's interesting, people think when they're ill, what they're going to do is convert the ill cells into healthy cells. I think what's going to happen is we're going to give cells the ability to reproduce healthy cells. So old cells, they only have a finite life cycle, are going to die, but they would have had babies, if you will, that were healthy, because the parenting cells had enough energy, enough electricity to produce healthy cells. And when you really think about that, body needing electricity and needing some sort of oxidation or, in quotes, internal combustion, sounds similar to the internal combustion system that goes on in my car, my other vehicle. I wonder if it would be possible, after that ceiling fan experience, to view certain situations or activities, consider the energy requirements that appear to be balanced or out of balance, and the kind of energy is required in order to achieve whatever is desired. There is a myth in America that has been prevalent for a very long time, and even to right now, is the idea of the self-made man, achieving amazing amounts of levels of success and prosperity all by himself. No one actually does that, but the myth continues. Nobody does this stuff all by themselves. You find somebody who is wealthy, you're going to find a lot of things going on in support of that person's wealth. Other people, loans, infrastructure, even the government keeps showing up supporting these people, even when they go, oh, no, the government didn't help me. Okay. But when you drill down, you start to see that this idea of self-made man is false, doesn't happen. So I made a list of a few situations, and I thought about what kind of energy would be required to deal with these situations. Can't get up in the morning. For that person who can't get up in the morning, what would he require? And it seemed to me, maybe more electricity, more energy. So his body would be, okay, I'm done. I'm done sleeping. I've got to start moving. I've got to start creating. I've got to start expressing. How about the situation where a person can't seem to go to bed at a reasonable hour? What energy is required? They can't manage the amount or the type of food that they consume. They don't eat enough or they eat too much. What energy would help them balance that situation? How about a person who can't balance their checkbook? They get overwhelmed somehow because of the complexity, the numbers, or the bad feelings they anticipate getting out of that. Whatever it is, what kind of energy, what kind of support, what kind of help would that person need? Can't apply for a better job. A lot of people go, I hate my job, I hate my job. Why don't you apply for another one? And even the forms online, I recently heard persons say, oh, it's too complicated. Too complicated to apply for a job. So, what kind of energy would be required to be added to that person so that they could apply for a job online. Can't clean the house. Oh, it's too overwhelming. Can't do it. Again, you'd want to know what kind of energy could be delivered to that person. What kind of support, what kind of help would help them to achieve that, if in fact they did want to clean the house. Sometimes we don't want to ask for what we want. Instead, we remain silent, or we give up on that quest and don't ask for it. We put other people's imagined convenience ahead of our own real convenience. Oh, well, I might inconvenience somebody somewhere, somehow, if I ask for what I want. Well, we know what we want, but what is going on there? And what energy would be required to be able to ask for what we want? The situation where seeing the positive in a situation that seems to be negative. If a person looks at a situation and goes, oh my God, this is a real problem. This is going to be a pain in the neck. This is going to be difficult. I don't think I could do it. What energy would that person need in order to deal with that? And helping and seeing the need for and the opportunities for comfort and convenience. Even noticing other people's needs, what kind of energy would be necessary to a person to help them become aware of another person's needs? When you think of this idea of what energy is required to achieve, I noticed flipping through the channels yesterday, actually somebody else was doing it and I was sitting off to the side, I noticed cheerleaders on the sidelines of football games. What are the cheerleaders doing? Trying to excite the crowd to add energy to the team. That's what it's about. Their cheering is designed to elevate the energy level of the players for their team so they perform better. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. This is a way we deliver energy to people playing football or baseball or basketball or any number of sports. I had this experience recently. I wanted a haircut, and my friend Catherine wanted a haircut and color, too. So her haircutter was going to handle us both, starting with Catherine's color, and then she was going to shift and cut my hair, and then return and deal with Catherine's color, and then give her a haircut. I brought along my journaling material, because I anticipated to sit in my car and journal while I waited for her to have her cut and color. But as we walked in to the salon and I was going to meet Tara, the haircutter, and then make my exit, Catherine suggested I get a cup of coffee in the tavern right next to the salon and journal at a table. I would not have thought of that myself. I would not have walked into that tavern and done that on my own. So she walked in with me. I think maybe she's been in there before, maybe not. And we looked around, and she turned around and left, and I asked the hostess if they served coffee, and they did. And if I could sit at a table away from the televisions and the people, she said, sure. So I took a table, ordered a cup of coffee, and there I am in this tavern in an area all by myself. And I started a journal, and I thought, that's cool. Then a guy came back and offered me a menu. And I looked at it, I'll have yogurt and granola. And as I was finishing drinking my coffee, eating the yogurt and granola, and my journaling, I got a text saying that Tara the haircutter was ready for me. I paid and hurried to the salon. 10 minutes later, I was back in the tavern, resuming my journaling at the same table with a fresh cup of coffee. What energies did I require? I needed somebody to tell me it was okay to go into a tavern, order a cup of coffee, ask for a table away from TV and people, so I had relative quiet, and then I could journal. I would not have entered this unknown to me, space, of course, and assumed that my needs could be accommodated. The resistance was in me, not in the tavern staff, and certainly not in Catherine. I didn't want to impose, intrude, ask, or, I felt a little awkward, a little bit vulnerable. I made up that resistance. It didn't exist except in me. The tavern had plenty of empty tables. They had a bar and a whole another dining room. And nobody was sitting in the area reserved for me, which was kind of like when they're absolutely packed, they would be seating people in the space I was sitting in. They didn't have any resistance to a coffee-drinking, yogurt-eating journaler. Nope, that was all mine. A success principle I discovered that is a guarantee, is that if we keep reaching for what we want without creating resistance in ourselves or others, we are guaranteed success. And of course, before Catherine helped me overcome my own resistance, that was what was going on. The resistance was in me, so I didn't reach. My resistance told me not to reach. Which brings me to wonder if the energies that you and I require are directly related to what we need in order to overcome, and perhaps to a lesser extent, the resistance of others, and maybe our resistance to others. So it's all about resistance that keeps us from reaching out, that we somehow interpret this circumstance outside as being potentially awkward, threatening, unknown, scary, fear-filled, so on. And it is this resistance that seems to be the thing that we need to overcome. We created it. We created it, and then we lived according to the creation. Oh, I can't do that. Why? Because I just made up the resistance to it. That's why. I see behaviors in others and in myself that are designed to get other people to do what we don't have the required amount of energies to do ourselves. You do it. You do it. You do it. Yeah, oh, I can't do this by myself. Could you do it for me? Could you iron this shirt? Could you cook this? Could you make this sandwich? Could you do this report? Right? You know that. I know that. When we don't have enough energy, or we make up, we imagine, we create that idea that we don't have enough energy to do this on our own. I got to get somebody else to do it for me. Getting others to do what we should learn how to do doesn't really help us grow. Actually, I think it avoids growth. Phew, that opportunity would have helped me grow, but I got somebody else to do it. I don't think that's natural. What is natural is kind of like children. Children naturally want to do things for themselves. They want to touch things in order to understand what they are. Oh, they touch this, they touch that, and they touch the other thing. And parents and other adults often interfere with that process. No, don't touch that. Don't touch that. No, I'll do it myself. Oh, no, you'll be too messy if you help me do the dishes, or if you carry that glass of water, or if you... Right? And we don't allow that person to learn how to do it. We don't help them. We don't teach them. We don't show them. We don't educate them on how to acquire the energies they need in order to achieve whatever goal it is that they might have. Needing help is a bugaboo for a lot of people. Needing help is often seen as a sign of weakness. How about a guy driving around for 4 hours because I can't ask directions? If I ask for directions, that's a sign of... what's it a sign of again? Well, I must have imagined somewhere along the line it's a sign of weakness to ask for help as compared to a different sign. What does it mean? It means I'm looking for information and I don't have it, and I'm going to ask somebody who is likely to have it. That's not too odd to us. Asking for help can make us feel vulnerable and out of and men don't want that feeling, and we don't want to be out of control, and we don't want to be susceptible to the moods or behaviors of others. So, you know, what if they don't know? What if they make fun of us for asking this silly question? What if so we don't want to ask for help. There is another perspective regarding asking for help. Human beings require an enormous amount of help over a lifetime. As infants, I'm thinking human beings require more help than all other species. So, as far as I can tell, we need more help than any other form of life on the planet. Well, if help and the need for it is natural and it's common, why don't we just access it when we need it? Oh, I need help. I need help. Help is natural. It's like breathing. It's like interacting with somebody. It's like sharing energy. It's an energy exchange experience that is beneficial to both people who participate. So, if it's normal, natural, and common, why don't we ask for it? And why don't we just give it when it's needed by another person? We can see another person, you know, kind of eyebrows down or wrinkled brow or scratching their head, or we know that there's a need for help, there's a need for information, there's a need for energy. Why don't we just, excuse me, can I help you? Was this some help you needed? Boom. We would solve a lot of problems if we were willing to reach out and do that. Maybe the reasons could be that we don't trust the others to help us without making us feel bad about ourselves for needing help. I had an aunt who was in the banking business, and she told me, she was not my favorite aunt, told me about this interaction after the bank had been acquired and she had a new boss. Help. And she said, "You don't know how to do this?" She belittled him for not knowing something. Instead of taking the opportunity to be helpful, she used it to demean him. Guess what? That did not serve her or him. And, like that, maybe we ourselves are not trustworthy of helping another without lording it over them that proves we're superior. "I've been doing this job for 20 years. I know this, and you don't know this. You've been doing the job for 20 seconds. And that makes me, what, superior?" I don't think so, but some people might believe it does. We do need to have trusted relationships that we can feel safe in. So otherwise, we won't exchange energy with a person. We're not going to exchange energy willingly with a bank robber, a murderer, a serial killer, a rapist, a mugger. Right? We do. No. Not deliberately. Those connections, the ones we want, are going to come from trusted relationships. If we're trustworthy, we're going to attract people who are trustworthy. We reap what we sow, of course. And that's how energy will flow to us and us. Of course, the ultimate relationship that we will want to nurture is with the source of all energy, the power that most of us will refer to in English as God. I refer to it a lot of different ways. Infinite intelligence, divine consciousness is a phrase I like, and there are a lot of them. Supreme being, you know, all that is. Whatever works for you, that's the relationship, that's the source of energy with which you're going to want a completely wonderful relationship. I would say there's no resistance to providing energies to us on the part of God. God is not, "Well, I don't know, you know what, it's Sunday, it's I'm busy, I'm not going to flow energy to that person." Not happening. That's fiction. That's nonsense. The resistance to the energies that we require to achieve health, happiness, success, love, lovingness, come from us and other human beings. They don't come from God. That resistance is not from God. That resistance is from us and other human beings. Fixed mindsets play a negative role in creating our resistance to the energies that we require. So if we can get to the point where I require energy. That's why I rest. That's why I eat. That's why I drink water. That's why I exercise. That's why I talk to people. That's why I study. That's why I think. That's why I meditate and pray and do energy modalities. I know that. I know I need that. But a fixed mindset says, you know what? You know what? If I wasn't born with it, I'm not going to have it. I can't get it after the fact. I was either endowed with it or I'm out of luck. So we dismiss the reality that growth is available. And growth is everywhere. You look around and you go, oh, yeah, the grass is growing, and trees are growing, fruit trees are growing, vegetables are growing, people you know have children who are growing, on and on and on. Stuff is growing. Your awareness is growing. It's like, huh. If all of this stuff is growing, why do I believe that what I need, the energies that I require, are unavailable to me because I didn't get them at birth? Goofy. People who believe that shoot themselves in the foot. Why? Because what's the point of reaching? I didn't have that when I was born, which means, well, it's definitely not available to me. Right. That seems pretty silly, doesn't it? I believe this to be true. We can create and express whatever it is we are willing to devote our attention, intention, will, and purpose to. And we'll have to allow the required awareness to be received by us. We can say, I want something. It's kind of like asking a question. I want something, and then we don't listen to the answer. We ask a question and don't listen to the answer. People do that all the time. It's like, okay. But I think if we ask questions, perhaps these, what energies do I require? If you're about to undertake an activity or a project, and you ask yourself, what energies do I require? And then you'll be quiet and listen for the answer. That awareness can be received. What help do I need? What questions can I ask? What awareness will reduce my resistance? Because that's what resistance is. Uh-oh, it's fear. It's imagined negatives and fear. What do I need to know in order to proceed with this activity? There are other questions that probably could help overcome the inevitable instantaneous resistance that we're going to have when we do something that requires change or we're doing something for the very first time. That is a self-protective instinct. Change. Uh-oh, there's a risk. Because I'm alive right now, doing what I'm doing or not doing what I'm not doing. And I'm going to do something different. Oh, you may be in jeopardy. Your life may be in danger. That is a self-protective survival instinct. But that blip of resistance, because it is a blip, it's really short term unless we permanentize it. But that blip doesn't mean we have to slam on the brakes. Oh, I can't do it now. I just had a momentary experience of fear. So, wow, if we drove a car and slammed on our brakes every time we had a momentary blip of fear, it'd be hell to pay out on the highway. Already is, of course, but it'd be much worse. When we have that inevitable, it simply means we require energies, and that moment in time is the time to reach out for the energies. Consider this for a second. How about if it is a red light on the dashboard that says, reach out for more awareness? As compared to hunker down, go into self-protection, close your mind, pull your head in like a turtle. Consider this mundane scenario. You've decided to make pancakes for your Sunday breakfast. Because you've done this before, you don't think much about the requirements of energies. You take out the griddle, the bowls, pancake mix, eggs, shortening, milk or water, and the whisk, and the measuring cups and measuring spoons. I would take out a couple of paper towels, too. to make sure that the shortening I put on the griddle, that's how I would apply it. But all of these required energy patterns are real familiar to you. On the kitchen counter, you mix the ingredients as the griddle heats up after you've plugged it in to the electrical outlet and you turned it on. Somewhere in your past, you received awareness of making pancakes. I mean, you know what pancakes are. Some people on planet Earth don't know what pancakes are. I've never heard of them. What are they? But you know. You saw someone do it. Maybe somebody in your family, like your mother or siblings or a father, may have taught you the process, or you just assimilated the information. You assimilated the knowingness through observation. If, on the other hand, making pancakes was a first-time experience that you had never seen before, you would have experienced that momentary anxiety, a fear of making mistakes, and so on. You may have had the confidence to ask for help. How do I do this? How do you make pancakes? Tell me what I need to do. Or maybe you just simply read the instructions, the recipe on the back of the pancake mix, and then followed it as best you could. It is safe to assume that when we want to achieve or be or do or have something that we are not currently experiencing, we will require additional energies. If you're not being it, doing it, or having it right now, and you want to, you're going to need additional energies. Knowing that and accepting that fact will help us to achieve much more in life, because now we go, I want to do X. Now I have to bring in whatever energies are necessary for me to achieve X. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is a pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. Do you think Father, Mother, Life might be a good source of the energy that you and I require in order to achieve whatever it is we want to create and express in this life? I do. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know that you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.